Welcome to the Disciple Lead Podcast, a podcast all about discipleship and leadership. The goal is to create conversations that encourage you and empower you on your journey. Hey friends, and welcome to episode 19 of the Disciple Lead Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Bryan, and today I'm excited for you to hear from my friend, Mark Thomas. Mark is one of the pastors of Thrive Church in Richmond, Virginia, and is the host of the Evangelism on Fire podcast. In today's episode, Mark tells the story of coming to faith in Jesus Christ out of a party lifestyle in Las Vegas, talks about where he gets his passion for evangelism from, and how to never be bored in our Christian life. Let's listen in for my conversation with Mark Thomas. Mark, welcome to the podcast.
Jonathan, thank you so much for having me on your amazing podcast. Hey, look, I'm a listener of your podcast. I love what you're doing, man. Thank you so much to have me on today. It's an honor to be on with you, brother.
Mark, I'm delighted to have you on. Thank you so much for being a listener and for those kind words, and just excited about our time together today. We could start in a lot of different places, but one thing that is easy to figure out about you that you're passionate about is evangelism and reaching others for Christ. And I would love to start by hearing your story of your coming to faith story.
Absolutely. Well, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I had my parents. I came from a family of four, so I had parents who did the best job that they could do. They loved us. I have one sister. She's older than me, but we had no Christian values. I grew up not having a moral compass, and I always knew right from wrong. However, man, I was a wild kid. You know, I knew right from wrong, but I always gravitated to what was wrong. And not having a moral compass, you know, my heroes growing up really loved music. You know, my heroes were the rock stars, you know, that partied hard. They lived a party lifestyle, and they were in the 27 Club. So my favorite musicians were in this club called the 27 Club. What's the 27 Club? It's a club that these people were all dead before, you know, they didn't live past age 27.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, my success in life was, this was my perception, not having moral compass, not having God in our family, in our life, was success is you party hard and you die before you're 27 years old.
Wow.
That's what I thought success was. And being that I was always just a wild, rebellious kid, I grew up like that, and I turned into a teenager believing those same beliefs. And I grew up thinking that you party hard, you die before the age of 27, you know, and Hollywood teaches you, hey, you make the most amount of money that you can make, you have the most amount of sex that you can have the most material possessions that you can have in your life, and you're a success. So that's how I live my life. I grew up with a laser focus on living my lifestyle according to those things. So that's how I grew up.
And so what was the turning point in your story of, I mean, that, you know, like you said, I mean, you're just living kind of a Hollywood mindset type thing, and all of a sudden, what was that change? What spark led to you coming to faith in Christ?
Okay, so my party lifestyle was what I lived for. So fast forward to age 26, you know, I had always drank. I was an alcoholic at a very young age, smoked marijuana. So I did all that. I mean, I was like getting high every day. That's my lifestyle. So I needed... This is how far deep into that party lifestyle I was. I needed to move away from my home state, Richmond, Virginia, all right? And I needed a city that would sustain my party lifestyle. So I took almost 3 months. I traveled around the country, and I wanted to find a city that could sustain my party lifestyle. It came down to two cities, One, New Orleans. The second one, Las Vegas. It was a close tie, but I felt like Las Vegas had more of what I needed, right? 24 hours, Sin City. That was the lifestyle that I was living. So I moved to Las Vegas. And when I went to Las Vegas, I got immersed into the party culture quick. All right. I was in the underbelly of that city. I met celebrities, started partying with them, and just partying with all those people in that city. All right, so I became addicted to hard drugs. All right, I had my first drug overdose, my second drug overdose. And at the time, Jonathan, I remember looking out on my balcony, and my backyard was literally the Las Vegas Boulevard. And I remember looking out, thinking to myself, it was a sunny day, beautiful day. I think about this day almost every day, all right? And I give the glory of God when I have these memories. And I remember looking out on my balcony, seeing the Las Vegas Strip, thinking to myself, I've got more money. I've got more material possessions. I've been with more sexual partners than a perverted young guy can conceive in his mind. I've well exceeded all of these, what I determined or counted as a success. And why am I the most miserable? Why am I the most lonely? Why is my heart, it has such a big void in it? And I thought to myself, if I'm not happy now,
yeah,
I'll never be happy. And what is the point of living life? And I thought there was absolutely no point. Look, and Jonathan, I never liked myself. I never loved myself. I wanted to die. So I intentionally, after my second drug overdose, did more drugs to try to kill myself.
Mm.
Okay? I wanted to die. I didn't see any reason for living. And then I got closer to death. I'm a short guy, right? I'm 5'3", but I was skin and bones emaciated from these drugs that had eaten my body up. I was barely 70 pounds. That's where I was at. And the funny thing is, when you get close to death, for me anyway, I didn't want to die. Right? I started to get scared. I started thinking about my life in ways I had never thought about before. You know, and the only thing that I wasn't successful at was stopping drug usage. It's the power of addiction, man. It's for real. And then I got close to death, and I realized I wanted to live. It's a real dichotomy. It's a strange dichotomy because I wanted to die, but I wanted to live. And, you know, I started praying to God. I said, God, you know what? I said, if you're real, show me you're real. Give me evidence that you're real. And Jonathan, I would go out, and people would come up to me, and they had sincere love for me. And these are total strangers.
Right.
And they would ask me, hey, can we pray with you? Now, before this time, if anyone approached me and asked me if they could pray with me, you're out of your mind. It's not going to happen.
Right, right.
But I knew that these people were being sent by God.
Mm.
All right. They had a sincere love and they had care for me. So I would ask them, yeah, hey, please pray for me. You know, and I just knew that God was sending them. I always believed in God. I didn't want to get to know God because I knew there was like a certain amount of accountability. I was so selfish. I just did what I wanted to do.
Right.
It was about me. I was self-centered. And these people would come up to me. They would say, hey, you know what? You're going to die soon. What happens? What do you think happens to you when you die? You know, do you believe that you were meant to live for an eternity? And I had never thought about those things until I got close to death. I started wondering, is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Do these places really exist? I started exploring and entertaining those thoughts for the first time because I knew I was so close to death, right?
Right.
And people would come up to me, and I started thinking in my mind, Jonathan, without knowing who God, I had no conception of who God, you know, was. And for people who do not know who God is, they make up the God that they believe in their own mind.
Exactly right.
So I thought to myself, I'm like, I've got to clean myself up before God will accept me. And I'm going to be dead. I don't have that much time on the clock, right? And people would tell me, no, that's not who God is. God loves you for where you are right now. I said, you don't understand my lifestyle. I'm one of the biggest sinners to ever live on planet Earth. There's no way God could love me. And people would come up and they would share the gospel with me. I said, no, you know what? Do you believe that you're a sinner? Oh, yeah, there's no question about that. I believe that.
Yeah.
Do you believe that God is real? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I do, but it's a very little amount. But do you have any faith in your heart that God is real? I do. I don't even know what that means, but I do have that belief. Do you believe that you're going to die one day? Yeah, oh, yeah, and it's going to be quick for me. Do you believe that there could be a place called heaven and hell that you can spend eternity in? I said, yeah, you know what? I've been thinking about that, and I'm pretty certain that I'm headed to hell without really even knowing what that is. My lifestyle, that's where people like me should go. And they said, man, you know what? There's this place called heaven, and there's an opportunity for you to go there. And I said, how does that work? How does a guy like me have an opportunity to enter into a place called heaven? And they would share with me, and it's not just one person, Jonathan. It would be multiple people, different places I go. Now, keep in mind, I asked God, if you're real, show me that you're real. And people would share the gospel with me, multiple people. And I knew, Jonathan, I knew God was sending them to me. I had no doubt.
Wow.
So the people would explain to me, Jesus died on the cross to forgive you of your sins. And I had, Jonathan, I was 31 years old when I heard the gospel shared with me. I had never heard it before because I did not grow up in a church, never attended church. It's the last place I wanted to go, right? And then they told me that, yeah, Jesus will, he'll come into your life. He'll give you the power to make the changes that, you know, you want to make. He'll take this drug addiction from you, you know. And they would ask me, have you ever heard that he died on the cross? And I'm like, well, I've never heard it before, but do you believe it? I'm like, yeah, I think it's a possibility. And then they would share with me, like, he also did that. Jesus did that to demonstrate his love for you.
Wow.
And I would ask them questions. I was very inquisitive. Do you think that Jesus really loves someone like me? Oh, yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he demonstrated his love by giving his life for you. Do you believe that he resurrected again, coming back to life? I'm like, man, you know, that's a crazy concept, but I believe that it could happen. It did happen, yeah. And they would share the gospel with me, and that's how I became familiar with the gospel.
Yeah.
And one day a Las Vegas Metropolitan police officer approached me and he said, hey man, I know your lifestyle. I've been watching you. I see people like you come out here all the time. Two things happen to people like you. You end up in prison or you end up dead. He told me, he says, you're not going to make it to prison because you don't have that much time. You're going to end up dead. Get in my police car. I want to share something with you. I hopped into this police car, last place I wanted to be when you're living a lifestyle like that.
Sure.
But keep in mind, I asked God, if he's real, prove it. And this police officer started telling me, you know what's different about you and other people that come here? I said, what? He said, you're different. God has a call on your life.
Wow.
And I want to share the gospel with you. And it went from multiple people sharing the gospel with me, praying with me, to hearing the gospel by a Las Vegas Metropolitan police officer. One time, sitting in his car, I heard the gospel shared with me at one time. I understood it. I believe it. He was like concise in his presentation of the gospel. And he told me, he said, I want to help you out. I want to get you help. So he drove me to a drug rehabilitation center, checked in. Now I heard the gospel. I didn't accept Jesus in his, that day in his car, but I understood the gospel. Checked into this drug rehabilitation center that this police officer drove me to and left about 20 minutes later. I said, this isn't for me. Don't want to do this. I'm just going to go party one more time. And, then I'll change. It's always with a drug addict or any type of addict. It's always one more time, just one more time. So I went back, I did drugs one more time, and I had my third drug overdose and nearly died. And I screamed out asking Jesus for forgiveness in the midst of my third drug overdose, thinking that I was literally one breath from death, thinking that I would just ask Jesus into my heart and miss going to hell and make it into heaven before I died. And I'm going to tell you something, Jonathan, when I started asking Jesus for forgiveness, I have never been so sincere in my entire life when I was asking for forgiveness. And I realized in that moment, it's like in a blink of an eye, man, of all the people that I've hurt, I always thought I was just hurting myself. You know, and all the destruction that I caused, my family, my friends, the people that love me, I realized, like God put in my heart right in that very moment of the destruction and just the damage that I've done to everyone in my life. I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart and life. And look, I'm going to tell you what happened instantly. I liked myself. Here I am, near death, skin and bones emaciated, from this drug addiction. And immediately when I said that prayer, I felt a peace I've never felt. I felt like, hey, I like myself. That's so weird. First thing I did was get up, wash my hands. I went to the bathroom, washed my hands, and I looked at myself in the mirror, again, skin and bones emaciated, dirty, filthy. First thing I wanted to do was wash my body and get clean, you know? And I remember I felt inside my body that I was already cleansed. So I wanted my physical body to be cleansed. And I remember looking. Yeah, right? I remember looking in the mirror, and as messed up as I was, I'm like, I like that guy. I like who I'm looking at. I love the person who I'm looking at. My whole life was the worst it's ever been. And I had a feeling of confidence that I had a new start, and that everything was going to be okay. And Jonathan, I knew God was real after that. I've heard of a miracle, never even was concerned about what a miracle was, didn't right. care. But what just happened to me was a miracle. Man, I believed in God with all my heart, and I made a covenant with God right then and there. I said, God, I'm going to pursue you harder than I pursued my party lifestyle. And what that means, I don't know, but sign me up. I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life, because I know you have kept me alive for the purpose of serving you. So that's how I came to Jesus.
What an incredible testimony. Thank you, Mark, for sharing so openly with our audience. And everyone's story is unique. And to just hear the ebbs and flows, I think it's important for us to notice that there were multiple seeds planted, and that there are people along that story who do not know who you are anymore. They never saw you again, but they planted a seed that ended up giving birth into someone coming into the kingdom in your life, which is absolutely incredible. I know our first time meeting in person a few months ago, you and I were discussing one of your missions or one of your goals is for every Christian to reach three people for Christ. And I think that's an awesome thing to have as a mindset, that if each of us can just reach three, I feel like that shows just how practical this thing can be. But where does that mission come from? Is there anything special about the number three? Is there anything about that mission that you felt like God birthed in you at a certain time? What's that about?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. First, you can understand my passion about evangelism. Because yes. If it weren't for people, who were faithfully engaging in the mission of the Great Commission. You know, Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. If it were for these people who were active in sharing their faith, you know what, Jonathan? I would have never heard about Jesus. I would have never heard the gospel. I would have died in my sins. All right. So that's where that births from. You know, my podcast, I encourage and I inspire Christians to, and I coach them to live the most exciting life that God has created us to live by actively sharing our faith in Jesus with others.
Yes.
So you know what? 95%, this is a tragic stat, right? And I don't say this to bring, to make people feel guilty, but it's the truth. 95% of Christ followers, Christians, will go their entire life without leading someone to Jesus before they take their last dying breath, right? And God has called us to be his ambassadors. He's called us into this amazing ministry of reconciliation. He has saved us to be his voice and to share Jesus with others. And, you know, I see that most Christians don't understand the Great Commission. They don't understand that mandate. And what I want to do is I want to change that number from 95%. And I want to demolish that percentage. And I want to empower and I want to coach Christians to engage in the mission of the Great Commission, because there's people that will never walk through the doors of a church. I'm an example of that. And we've got to go to them and we've got to share what we've been given, you know, that eternal gift of salvation. So I thought it would be cool. Why not coach, empower, and encourage Christ followers to reach people for Jesus, to evangelize in their own unique way, and challenge everyone to, hey, let's take at least three people to heaven with us before we take our last dying breath on this earth.
That is awesome. I'm a huge fan of your podcast, the Evangelism on Fire podcast, part of Evangelism on Fire Nation, as you like to call them. And I think it's absolutely an incredible tool for any Christian who is looking to share their faith, from practical teaching, coaching, inspiration. You bring it every single episode, and so appreciate what you're doing. And it is obvious to see in hearing your testimony the desperation you feel to reach others because of the way that you were reached through others. And so I think that's absolutely powerful. I know it's hard to take. You are over 120 episodes in on your podcast, and so I know it's hard to kind of break it down into maybe just one thing, but in all that you've learned in interviewing and preparation, and whether it's the technological side or the practical side of what you've learned about evangelism through the podcast, if you could share one or two things, what would those things be?
Yeah, well, first, that's such a great question. I love that question. All right, I guess the first thing that comes to my mind is we as Christians have the glorious honor of carrying out the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God could have chosen any method to reach human beings with the gospel, but he's chosen us, his children.
Yes.
It's the most precious gift that God can give us as believers. You know, I would say a lot of people don't take part in it because they're worried about the fear that they're going to experience, right? But here on the flip side, yeah, we'll experience fear, but we're going to experience excitement. We're going to experience nervousness, and we're going to experience a time of rejoicing with God in a way that we can't rejoice with him while we just share, while we just take part in sharing our faith in Jesus with others and sharing the gospel message. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I guess the number one thing I would say is, as Christ followers, as Christians, you will never lead You will never live a boring or stagnant life if you're actively sharing your faith in Jesus with others. That's the first question I ask people. People are like, man, you know what? I just feel like I'm stagnant in my faith. The first question I ask them is, how active are you in, you know, evangelism? And chances are, they're going to say, oh, well, I don't really think that's for me. That's why there's no excitement in your Christian life. Let's talk about that. Let's unpack that. Let's see what that looks like.
Be sure to tune in next month as Mark and I continue our conversation and begin to discuss some practical steps we can take to overcome our fears and share our faith. In the meantime, if you found this episode to be helpful, I encourage you to share it with a friend. You can also subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Until next time, I pray that you stay encouraged and empowered on your journey.